Very good evening. Welcome along to another edition of The Score. So what's coming up on tonight's programme? We'll be speaking to Donegal Liddy's football manager, Maxie Curran, as they look ahead to yet another Ulster final against their archenemy Armagh this coming Sunday in Owen Beg in Dungiven. By the way, that's a game that we will have live full match commentary from on Sunday Sport. Also in Gaelic games, Derry legend Eamon Burns is on the show as he looks forward to a busy weekend for the Oakleaf County against Monaghan. The seniors will play them on Saturday evening in the All-Ireland Championship, and the minors play Monaghan in the Ulster final on Sunday evening. And Richard Kerr last weekend took victory at Donington on the bikes. We'll be speaking to the Kilmacrenan rider about his latest success and his hopes of being a contender for the championship come the end of the season. But it's with football we begin, and this weekend in the League of Ireland, Finn Harps are away to Treaty United. Harps are on a four-match losing streak and haven't scored in their last two games, while Derry City are away to Sligo Rovers in the North West Derby in the Premier Division. The Candy Stripes are sitting top of the league and a point ahead of last year's winners, Shamrock Rovers. I've been looking ahead to the games for the North West sides with former Finn Harps player Joe Boyle. Time to look forward to another Finn Harps match. Listen, the form's not there, Joe. It's a sticky, sticky patch for Harps, second from bottom in the table. But they're on the road against Treaty. Before we look at that game, maybe we'll get your thoughts of what it's been like since we last spoke. I spoke to you about maybe 3-4 weeks ago, and I suppose over that period of time, Harps have conceded a massive, 12 goals over the last three games, 14 in the last four, something like that. They're finding it difficult to stop the goals and keeping the goals out, so they are, Joe.
Yeah, it's been difficult a couple of weeks for them, you know, what do you call them? I think their squad has been tested. You know, Keith Cowan had been out, Rainey's been out. It looks like McCallion will probably suspend it this weekend as well. You know, we don't have at the minute in Balbuffet that strength and depth. And, you know, there's a lot of the young lads now having to take their place on the bench. And, you know, that has been in a factor for Dave Rogers this last couple of weeks. But again, that one now, you know, you would nearly love the old Arsenal style to get beat 1-0, but, you know, getting beat 3-4 is damaging if it keeps continuing. So this is one match that he'll definitely be looking to target. I know Treaty's a couple of points ahead of them, but again, to me, that's one of the teams they've really got to be looking to target to try and get above them. And, you know, that's something, if they're going to get into that playoff position at the end of the season, that's one that they're really going to have to look at and try and get something this Friday night down in the Markets Field.
Yeah, if that's going to be the case, what do they have to do then, Joe? Because there hasn't been any sort of indicators whatsoever. Maybe the second half in Bray, but other than that, there hasn't been any sort of indicators coming as to where Harps are going to pick up points from.
Yeah, I was at the Longford match that night, and at times they had a little bit of difficulty, but that night I was enthused by some of the stuff that they played when they got it down and got it playing and that. You know, to me, one of the players I could be looking for now is in the middle of the field there is Noah Baba, and Kyo was the other one. You know, for me, those are two players now that really needs to grab the game by the scruff of the neck in there. Two what I would call experienced players at that level that they're playing at the minute, and we need them to get on it and, you know, maybe change their game a little bit this week where they sit in and maybe play a little bit tighter and make it difficult for Limerick and try and get something there. But again, going away to Treaty this weekend and down to the Marcus Field, really got to make sure that there's not another four. You know, there's been three or four games in a row there where they've conceded four goals, and, you know, that does sap the confidence if that continues in there. And that's to me is more important than anything this week, and try and do that. Like next weekend, you go into it where you've got Kerry at home, so to me that's definitely one you've got to be targeting the 3 points for. And then when Harps come out of that, then they're away to Galway, and that's and the Corn squad at the minute, I can't see Harps getting something in as a way to Longford, and then we go into the break. So, you know, this week and next week is somewhere they've got to try and target possibly 4, maybe 6 points in there, and I think that to me is key. These matches are the ones you've got to look at, and when you look at the likes of Waterford last week and you look at the likes of Galway coming up in a couple of weeks' time, you know, I think their squads are a lot stronger and a lot farther down the road than Finn Harps are at the minute. And I was encouraged last week to see that Patrick Ferry and Stephen Doherty will come in. Can they target and get one or two more experienced players coming back in? You know, for me, one I would love to see coming back in would be Barry McNamee, if they could only convince Barry to come back in. You know, somebody in there who's got that leadership in there, and again, maybe a goal scorer, because when we look at the column for goals for, it's pretty light at the minute. You know, there's only been 14 goals, and you know, it's the second or third lowest in the league, and you know, that's something that for me is nearly as more worrying than the other column, where we've conceded 31. So trying to get somebody in who could sniff out a couple of goals in some of those tight games, you could change the way you play a little bit, be a little bit harder to play against. But at the minute, there's too many in one column and not enough in the other column when you look at the league table for Harps at the minute.
Yep. How much pressure is there going to be on Keith Cowan now over the next couple of games? Because you've mentioned experience there a couple of times, obviously. He's been there and done that with several clubs before. And the fact that young McCallion, that was off to his right, is not there through suspension, and you're going to be missing the likes of Ryan Rainey as well. So is there a bit more pressure on the Harps captain now at this stage of the campaign and trying to help Harps out of this rut?
Ah, yeah, look, at Keith's an experienced player, and he's been through a lot of this before. And, you know, I think that now is the time that he will do what he normally does and leads from the front. You know, Keith will never be found wanting in that. What he needs now is to convince the young lads to follow him and to go with him and make sure that they're all going in that direction as well. And, you know, that's a key one. And maybe it might be a time just with Keith, and I know they don't have them at the minute, to make sure that they keep that back four really, really solid, or back five really, really solid, and Keith to use that experience. And you know, maybe away from home against Treaty this week, sitting a little bit deeper might suit Keith as well. You know, when you're a Finn Park and you're chasing the game, you know, when you move up that age bracket that Keith's in now, being playing closer to the halfway line mightn't be what a centre half would want. But you know, this week it could be and suit them better that Keith would play closer to his own goal and get people in there. But then Harps have got to find a way of trying to get that all important goal. And you know, wouldn't we take a 1-0 victory this weekend before we head down there? It's a while since we've had one of them, but I think, you know, a 1-0, one or two 1-0 victories now over the next couple of weeks would be certainly what the fans in Finn Park are looking for.
Yeah, it certainly would. Elsewhere, as you mentioned there, Galway are heading to, or Galway are hosting rather, Athlone Town. Harps are heading to Galway in a number of weeks' time. I suppose it's fair to say they are the raging hot favourites to take the title. Can Athlone at all trouble the tribesmen, the Galway men, the men from the west this weekend?
Yeah, I think for Athlone to have any chance, that they've got to make sure that they don't concede early on, because, you know, with the likes of Galway there at the minute, when they get on top of you and they've got players that can exploit you, and you can go from being 0-0 and then all of a sudden 5 or 10 minutes later you're chasing the game, you're 2 or 3-0 down. So for me, it's really, really important that Athlone do that this week and try and make it as difficult as possible for them. And, you know, you really do have to look at that squad there, doesn't Galway at the minute. And, you know, if they were in the Premier Division, I would fancy them to be picking up a lot of points in the Premier Division with the squad that they have at the minute. They've got strength and depth. They've got experienced players right across the whole pitch, and you know, they are playing a good brand of football, you know, where they're really, really difficult. And you know, over the last couple of weeks, people have tried to put it up to them, but you know, by the end of the night, both Friday nights, Galway are making sure that they're coming through that. And what's really really impressive, they've conceded 6 goals this season, like, you know, and that's huge in 15 games. Like that's a miserly defence there. And again, I know it's the attacking players that get in the plaudits, but, you know, to think at this stage of the season, 15 games in, that you've only conceded 6 goals, you know, that says a lot for, you know, how John Caulfield and Ollie Horgan have set up their team and have got their team. And again, they've added that little bit extra then, where they're not giving anything away and, you know, scoring 41 goals. You know, that's impressive stuff.
Yeah. The other games in Division 1, Kerry against Wexford and Bray Wanderers against Cove Ramblers. In the top flight Premier Division, the leaders get into the weekend are Derry City, but there could be a change at the top before their game on Saturday night, with Shamrock Rovers on the road making the trip to Cork. Drogheda United play UCD, Bohemians take on Shelburne, and St Pat's play Dundalk of the other matches on a Friday night. But the league leaders have a North West Derby, Joe, at the showgrounds against Sligo, and it's not too often that when you go to a derby that Derry will be raging hot favourites, but that's the sort of case this weekend, so it is, given how well they have been performing over the last couple of weeks, and in particular their move to the top of the standings.
Ah, yeah, look, it's a couple of weeks ago there, they were having a bit of a wobbler, and there was a couple of games that you were scratching your head after, wondering how did they manage to lose that game or what happened there. You know, there was a couple of defeats and a draw, and you thought, oh, this is going to fall apart. But, you know, Rory has definitely turned that round in the last couple of weeks. They've been really, really impressive. Like, you know, I know you can look at the UCD one last week, but, you know, beating Dundalk 3-0, getting that 1-0 with Bowes and backing it up with Drogheda. You know, we've seen in the last couple of weeks how Drogheda have been really, really difficult to play against. And then, yes, they had the reversal against Shamrock Rovers, but that night Shamrock Rovers were in Derry. You know, they were really, really impressive. So, you know, Derry will definitely be looking to keep that going. And when you look at Sligo, on the other hand, it's been a couple of really disappointing set of results there for John and for the Sligo players. So he'll be fully in tune in how important this Northwest Derby is for Sligo as well as Derry. And, you know, it's something that both managers will be really targeting, because, you know, Sligo don't want to be caught adrift. They don't want to be, you know, there's 5 points between themselves and Shelburne at the minute, and, you know, they need to make sure that they keep on that and keep on that chance of getting into Europe, because a club like Sligo has done really well being in Europe over the last couple of seasons, and they'll want to continue keeping that up and keeping the level of player coming in and keeping that in tune. But again, Derry have been so impressive. You know, they really have. When they get going in full steam, they're impressive. And, you know, they've had a couple of players coming back in the last couple of weeks as well, and that's only added to them. And Paddy McLaughlin's come in as well, so Derry are in a really strong position. And, you know, rumours during the week there was that James McLean was going to be back with them now in the window, but it looks like that's not going to happen. So when you look at the calibre of player of James McLean, and there's a possibility he may have come to Derry, I would imagine Rory Higgins will be looking for one or two more quality players to come in, particularly when they're in that position they are at the minute. If they can hold that and stay in that dogfight with Shamrock Rovers up there, it really is going to be an interesting second part of the season for Derry.
Yeah, certainly will. Listen, we look forward to the weekend, Joe, the football this weekend. Joe, thanks as always for joining us.
Not at all. Thanks, Oisin. Thank you.
There you go. That's Joe Boyle with his thoughts on the matches for Derry City and Finn Harps this coming weekend. Derry, of course, out on Saturday evening. Finn Harps are out tomorrow night, Friday, at the Markets Field as they go to play Treaty United. Kickoff is at 7:45. We will have live regular updates from that game here on Highland with Michael Cook this coming Friday evening. And it is, of course, a quiet time of the year for football, but there is a big game for the Bunnigie United Ladies this coming Sunday. It's the FAI Women's Amateur Cup quarter final at the Dry Arch Park. The Bunnigie Ladies looking to make it through to the last four of the competition. Balnagarry AFC from County Limerick are the opposition for Bunnigie in that tie. Well, in the Ulster Senior League, Cockhill Celtic took a step closer to another title last night. The initial side beat Finn Harps under-21s 3-0 at the Letterkenny Community Centre. Finn McClure, Stephen Duffy and Corey McBride got the goals for Cockhill. That means a win over Derry City next Wednesday, and Cockhill Celtic will be champions for a 10th season in a row. Time for a quick commercial break here on The Score. We'll be back with Gaelic Games after these.
Sport on Highland is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure Letterkenny, with premium running footwear from top brands like Asics, New Balance, Brooks, Adidas and Under Armour. See michaelmurphysports.ie.
Welcome back to The Score. Well, our feature match this coming Sunday afternoon will be the Ulster Ladies Senior Football Championship final as Donegal take on Armagh. I'll be joined in the commentary position at Owen Begg and Derry by our usual big match analyst for the ladies, Maureen O'Donnell. 3:30 is the start time to that tie. And it's the third year in a row that the counties are meeting at this stage of the competition. Of their previous four meetings, Donegal have won two in 2018 and 2019, and Armagh 21 and 22. Donegal will go into the game as underdogs and have already been well beaten by Armagh this season in the round robin stage of the competition. But manager Maxi Curran feels the gap between the two isn't as big as some results would suggest.
Had a long history with Armagh. This is our fifth Ulster final now, you know, in 6 years, and it's against Armagh. So look, we've won two, they have won two, and last year was a cruel way for us to lose the game. You know, we conceded a goal, you know, at the end of normal time, they brought it to extra time, and then we conceded a goal the last kick of the game, basically to lose the game. So, by a point, so look, there's never been that much between us. There was a bit of a gap, I know, in the recent round robin match in Lifford, but look, at the same time, it was, you know, there was 8 points in at the end, but you know, we had four frees towards the end that were all kickable that we felt we could try to work goals from. You know, there would have been points in the goal, we were caught with a sucker punch at the end when we were pushed up, you know, which wouldn't have happened if the game been tight. So look, I don't think the gap is all that big. You know, we still have a lot of serious players. You know, your next year captain, Niamh McLaughlin's a top player in the LGV field at the minute, and you know, we've a number of other really good players. You know, your next year, your Karen Guthrie's, and you know, Tara Hegarty's playing, you know, the football of our life at the minute. Well, look, we've injected some real good young players, the likes of Abigail Temple, so good player of the match in last week's minor final, and Katie Dowd has been a revelation for us. So look, you know, I don't think it's definitely a match that's there for us, and you know, we don't hold any fear of Armagh, really. You know, they will go into it as raging hot favourites, and rightly so, with the manner in which they disposed of Cavan, considering we struggled to get by Cavan. But yeah, look, it's I think the game's nicely set for us.
Yeah, do you have to be a wee bit more clever come championship than what you were the last day out? Because you said that you wasted maybe opportunities when you went for goals. Does the game management approach have to be bang on this time around, Maxi?
Yeah, look, at that stage of the game, look, sure, you're as well to get beat by 7 or 8 as beat by 1 or 2. So you know, I don't know if you went back. If you went, like, I don't know if you went back. If you went back a month and you played the game again, would you? You know, would have been great to come out with a 2 or 3 point defeat. I don't think that makes any difference. 2, 3, 5, 6, 7, 8. I don't think it matters. You know, it's at this stage, it's about who learns the most from the last encounter. You know, Amy Mackin put on an exhibition in the second half. She scored 6 points in play, but that was with the aid of a big breeze in the second half. So you know, she showed all her quality in the second half, and you know, we'll definitely have learned from that. So that's probably a bigger learning than maybe the scores that we left behind. Look, I think we played very poorly in the first half, and we had the wind. You know, there was a very poor connection from back to front, and you know, we didn't transition well. We didn't use the ball well up when we had it inside their 45. So you know, we were 2 really good goals, but you know, apart from that, we didn't put much football together at all. So you know, I think that's the big learning for us, and you know, we kind of set our stall out in terms of how we were going to set up kickouts, etc. And you know, and the wind was a big factor in the first half, and we probably should have adjusted quicker than what we did. So those are the things that you know, that you take away from the game, maybe rather than the scoreline or how close it could have been. But you know, having beaten Cavan the day before, you know, we had a wee bit of a cushion, because you know, we knew with Armagh playing Cavan and Clonus the week before in front of their men's game, you know, they'd have been going home for a big victory, and that's how it kind of turned out. So, you know, I think it's that'll be the interesting one to see which team would have learned the most.
Yep. How what would it mean, rather, for this group, the progression, particularly of this group, because it's very much changed from last year. They were to win in Ulster this weekend, Maxi.
Yeah, look, I think it'll be fantastic. You know, there's a number of girls now playing that are mainstays of our team, the likes of Tara Hegarty and Rajan Rogers. These girls that, you know, that'd be great for them to get an Ulster medal, being on the field and being front and centre to it. You know, the likes of Karen and these girls, you know, it'd be a lovely way for them to sign off their inter-county careers, you know, with another Ulster medal in their pocket. You know, they're not easy come by, whether it be men or women, and they're it's an honour to have them. And so from that perspective, it'd be great. And I also think it'd be a great footing for the next generation, you know, to come from, as I mentioned, the likes of the Tara Hegarty's and the, you know, even the Claire Freeze and Gold, who's been, you know, we've been brilliant since she came in, you know, in her first season. You know, these younger girls, Abigail, Katie Dowds, you know, they're going to be the future of this Donegal team. So for them to start off with a winning mentality would be brilliant. You know, as I say, also medal are not easy to come by, and look, some of them might one another. So from that perspective, it'd be great. And as I say, it'd just be a reward for some of the girls that have given so much to Donegal over the years. And you know, and this is probably be the greatest achievement of them all if they do manage to win this one.
And if they do manage to win it, would also be a good footing heading into the All-Ireland series, Maxi?
Yeah, look, it would be. Look, we haven't even looked at that, really, to be honest. You know, this is our main goal at the minute is to try and get over the line on Sunday. Probably, coincidentally, the draw is probably more favourable if you lose on Sunday, because you end up in a group with Laois and Mayo, which is probably less daunting than the Leinster loser and Waterford. You know, we've seen this year how good Waterford were in the league, so they're actually a third seed team in the pot. So, you know, that'll be a very difficult group. But again, look, that's completely irrelevant. We're on the road now on Sunday. We're just, you know, we're all our focus on Armagh. And look, I think it'll be a brilliant achievement if we could get over the line. Cause look, there's no doubt about it. We're going to be, raging underdogs. And that's the first time we've been in that position. So it's something new for us to deal with.
Just finally, what about the venue, Owen Beg? Have you played much there, Maxi, with the ladies?
No, not at all. And in fact, I've only been there once in my entire life. It's only got men and a McKenna Cup match 5 or 6 years ago. It's a very good venue insofar as, look, with the new road, it's less than an hour on the road from Letterkenny, and it's very convenient to get to for supporters. Look, I think to be fair to the Derry County Board, it's the only bespoke, you know, county ground in operation at the minute. The rest are all, you know, stadiums that are older than Methuselah, and you know, they for Derry to have built this complex is a credit to them and at their centre of excellence. So I just think it's very good for people to get around and see the venue, because I think it's a fantastic place, and look, no issue at all with the venue.
Well, listen, hopefully it's a venue that's going to suit Donegal and be favourable to Donegal. The very best luck to you and the ladies at the weekend, Max, in the Ulster final.
Thank you, Ashian. Thank you.
That's Maxi Curran, Donegal Ladies senior manager. That game starts at 3:30 on Sunday at Owen Beg in Derry. Before that, there's the Ulster Intermediate Championship decider as Tyrone play Antrim. And before that, on Saturday, there's the All-Ireland Girls Under-14 Bronze Semi-Final taking place in Enniskine in Monaghan, with Donegal up against Wicklow, and that one on Sunday afternoon starts at 3:45. Moving on to men's Gaelic football, and this weekend Derry clash with Monaghan in the group stages of the All-Ireland Championship and in the Ulster Minor Football Final. The seniors host Defarnay County on Saturday evening at Celtic Park in their opening All-Ireland Series match. Derry go into the game off the back of an Ulster double for the first time since the mid-70s. Then on Sunday evening, the Oakleaf County will feature in their 7th provincial minor final in 9 years. On this week's GA preview, I've been joined by Derry legend Eamon Burns.
Well, listen, it's a big weekend for Derry football. Eamon, the minors obviously in the Ulster final against Monaghan, and the seniors also playing Monaghan on Saturday evening as they start their All-Ireland series. But there's a spring in the step of Derry football at the moment, with both age groups going very well, and in particular with the seniors coming off the back of achieving a first back-to-back Ulster titles since the mid-70s. So they'll be buoyed by that, and they'll be heading into the Monaghan game full of confidence.
Yeah, it certainly is, actually. You know, Derry football's in a bit of a high, you know, this last 2 years, really, with the senior success. Back-to-backs have only ever happened once before, so there's a feel-good factor in Derry, and that's sort of bounced on to the minors as well, you know, and they've put in a good season so far, so we're looking forward to seeing them against Monaghan Sunday evening as well.
Yep. As for the seniors, obviously beating Monaghan already in the championship, with about 8 points, was it, to spare in the semi-final stage, so they know them well. Both these teams know each other very well, but I suppose the fact that Derry came through a really, really tight Ulster final will put them in a buoyant mood going into this game.
Yeah, I suppose everybody knew that, you know, Armagh were gonna really put it up to them. We probably waited to half time in that Ulster final, really, for them to put the shoulder to the wheel. And whenever they, you know, the likes of Super Campbell came on and Ethan Rafferty started coming out, you know, they really went for it, and that's when we had to see the real character of the Derry team. So in fairness to them, you know, and especially with the events that happened that week, it was always going to be a tough one. So, like, I thought it was an extraordinary show of character for Derry to come through that final. Obviously, when it gets to penalties, and I don't think it should be penalties to decide a provincial final, but that's the way it is. So, that's a lottery in a way. But so it could have went either way. But for them not to lose the game, you know, and to go on and win it in penalties was massive, and yeah, they take great confidence in that. But they deserve it. They've worked really hard, and they're a very strong group of players. You know, a small but a close-knit group of players. You know, so I suppose Mullen, I was up at home that day, there was a huge crowd up there, and Mullen came up fully expecting to possibly beat Derry, haven't beat Tyrone, so luckily they sort of maybe let themselves down a wee bit that day. Derry had one of those days, everything, you know, went perfectly. I think it scored 121 or something, very few wides, great shot selection, so you would imagine on the tighter Celtic Park pitch that, you know, Monaghan will maybe, you know, certainly not score as much, I don't think, on Saturday evening against Monaghan. And you would think that Monaghan will keep it closer. I still fancy that they are going to be too strong. But there's a lot to be said for a 4 week break too, Oisin. So we'll see. It's going to be interesting.
Yeah, the longer break obviously did suit Mayo against Kerry the last day down, and that opening round fixture. Monaghan will be hoping for something the same, and I'm sure Monaghan would have watched probably as well the way Armagh took on Derry, and if there was any kinks there, how to expose it.
Well, that's it. From a Monaghan point of view, you know, you'd be sitting there thinking, you know, this is the time to catch Derry. You know, they had a tough Ulster final, went to extra time, went to penalties. Then there would have been celebrations, obviously, had followed that, and you're thinking, look, now's the time to get them in the first, first go in the qualifiers. So, look, there's a lot of improving to do. I'm sure over the 4 weeks they'll have looked at the tactical side, especially whenever the draw came out that they knew Derry was going to be first up. So, but imagine now that they'll. Certainly, I couldn't believe, that they were getting their shots away as easy from the 35-metre line, really, against Monaghan. So you'd imagine the push-up would be a bit harder in that day. I know they'll be disappointed in that day, but I know that everything went right for them that day. But no, I'm sure they'll have the last day, probably, Chrissy McCaig completely got the handle on Jack McCarron. I think McCarron was taken off, so they'll be looking more at the likes of him and even... Conor McManus as well. They'll be looking at the big names to perform for them.
Brendan Rodgers said after the Ulster final very quickly that there was another prize on offer that they want to be involved in. And obviously the Sam Maguire is what he was talking about. Do you feel Derry can be in the mix this year, Eamon?
Well, I do, because, I don't think Monaghan will be in the mix for that, for Sam Maguire. I don't. But I still think, Armagh and Derry will both be in the mix for that. I think, Kerry and Dublin will be in the mix for that. I think Mayo and Galway will be in the mix for that, So there's six or seven teams, and I think Derry is one of them. And, I just don't think.
Can they go top four, top two?
Oh, they certainly can. Aye, they can. They can go to an All-Ireland final. I don't think Kerry's as strong as they were last year. Results have proved Mayo took them. And I don't think Dublin's as strong as they were. So look, people are saying that Galway look at the on-form team, but it's hard to know. I think it's wide open this year. Certainly Derry, they've a decent draw there for the qualifiers, with Mullen and Donegal and Clare. So they might be too far away. I expect Derry to. I know it's going to be difficult against Mullen and against Donegal next week. I do expect Derry to come top of the group and to get straight into the quarter final, so that's probably a help where they do get a wee break there,
Yeah. Let's move to the Minors on Sunday evening. A seventh final for the county in 9 years, and given the way they have performed since they lost that Jim McGuigan League final to Donegal, Derry have been very, very impressive, and you know this group well, been involved with the under-16s. There's quite a few of your group up at minor level. They'll be raging hot favourites, will they, for this one on Sunday?
They'll be favourites. I'm not sure about raging hot. I don't know enough about Monaghan, but I know that Derry did beat them well in the earlier stages of the championship. But we did have to be honest. We did expect to see a Derry thrown final. But Monaghan obviously beat them in merit and came through the extra time way and came through the penalties. But if you look at if you're looking at Monaghan's other results apart from the Derry game, the big ones there. So they're obviously a strong team. But yes, I do know the Derry team well. I know the management well. I see them as a strong outfit. I've watched them a couple of times. They're just very strong all over the park, and I expect them to give Monaghan a real good game. I don't know enough about Monaghan. I haven't seen enough of Monaghan to be able to say, but I do expect a Derry one again here, Oisin.
Yeah. Is there a few top quality players within that minor group that you can see will be senior stars down the line?
That's always very hard to say, certainly boys there, as I say, you mentioned some of the younger boys that I worked with, the likes of James Sargent there and Eamon Young are special talents that still have another year at minors, I know people from outside of the county will probably know about Finn McIlderney, who, is small in stature but massive in heart, so he's another one for the future. It's just very difficult to say, but Certainly, plenty of them will be knocking on the door, Oisin, and so many things can happen now, you know, over the next few years that things work out and don't work out. But I expect that there'll be three or four of those lads featuring for the seniors and years to come. You know.
Yeah. At times, from our point in Donegal, looking at Derry and Tyrone, you'd be in awe of the conveyor belt of young footballers that are coming through. And one man that has managed a lot of them and has had a huge input, particularly at the minor age group for Derry, is manager Damien McAuleen. He's been vital in all that, especially from back in 2014-2015.
Definitely, yeah. Damien's a good record, and I go back to that time, and you know, Derry's record in the minors wasn't so good. Ashton had maybe five or six in the days of the old style format, maybe five or six straight knockouts in a row, and Damien come in and turned that around. And I'm not sure what the record is. There'll be a few Ulster finals in there and a couple of success. He took Derry for the 2017 minor final, and then went straight in with a senior job for two or three years. So he's loads of experience. He's a good man. He's a knowledgeable man. He has a very good backroom team there with him, you know, like Anton Moore's highly rated coach, Gavin McGeehan's highly rated. You have Owen McNichol there with the S&C, and Murdo O'Brien that was working with the 16s last year. So it's a good team there. And, you know, as I say, I've seen them a few times, and you can see there's top quality coaching those young lads will get. So have to hand it to Damien, fair play to him. And, you know, he has done a lot, I suppose. It's not just about the management team. The structures are good there. Chris Collins done a good job up there and his role. So they've got things right over the last 8, 9, 10 years, certainly, you know.
Yeah. Just finally then, a Derry double over Monaghan at the weekend would be a good few days' work, Eamon.
Well, I know, you know, I'm biased, but I do fancy us for success in both. I think it'll be closer against Monaghan in the senior match than it was at TD Park. I certainly think it'll be maybe possibly 4 or 5 pointer. I think it could be similar at Armagh. But I'm saying that without having seen Monaghan this year, you know. So I'm expecting a double, and no matter what happens, you know, at least, you know, we're going to see these teams, both these teams, the seniors and the minors, we're going to see them again, you know, in the next couple of weeks as well.
We look forward to the football this weekend. Enjoy it, Eamon. Many thanks for joining us on Highland Sport.
Good man. Thank you, Yoshi.
Eamon Burns looking ahead to the action involving Derry. That senior championship Group 4 game against Monaghan starts at 7 o'clock at Celtic Park on Saturday. And there's a 6 o'clock start at the Athletic Grounds in Armagh for the minor football final against Monaghan. And that is on Sunday evening. Before that, the Derry Hurlers have a final to look forward to as well. It's the Minor Celtic Challenge Division 3 final. Antrim is the opposition. Antrim with home advantage up in Dalsillie. And that one starts on Saturday at 12 noon. And as always, it's the hurling action which gets the local club games up and running on a Friday night. There's 4 games in the Spring League down for decision, with Satanta away to Buncrana and St Eunan's hosting McCool's. Bird play Dunlow and Carndonagh take on Éirue Ballyshannon. There's also full programme of matches this coming weekend in Division 1 right the whole way through to Division 4, with the games taking place on Saturday and Sunday. And in the All-Ireland Masters Football Championship as well, Donegal have their latest game. It's against Cavan at the Donegal GA Centre and Convoy on Saturday afternoon, starts at 1:30. Donegal will be looking to bounce back from their opening defeat at the hands of Derry. They still have matches to come as well against Sligo, Armagh and Antrim. Okay, time for another commercial break here on the Score programme tonight. And when we come back after these, we'll be looking at action on the bikes with Donegal writer Richard Kerr.
Sport on Highland is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure Letterkenny, with premium running footwear from top brands like Asics, New Balance, Brooks, Adidas and Under Armour. See michaelmurphysports.ie.
Welcome back to The Score. Last weekend, Richard Kerr and the AMD Motorsport team claimed their third career victory and a first of the season on the bikes in the Pirelli Nationals Superstock Championship race at Donington Park. The next round of the series takes place at the team's local round at Knockhill in Scotland on the weekend of the 18th of June. This week on The Score, Richard Kerr has been telling us about his recent success and his hopes to be a championship contender come the end of the season.
Aye, definitely. Round three done there at Downton Park, and another win added to the bag. First win of the season, so obviously over the moon still. Still good buzz about the house and all, and I'm still have the buzz about me. But it was good to get it. Didn't come easy, but and it went down to the wire. But we finally got it and put us up to second now in the championship. So far so good.
I know, speaking to you before you went away last week, that you were confident going into the weekend because you won on Donington last year. It was a good week for you. Were you confident come race day that you could take it?
Aye, throughout practice and qualifying, I was in top two the whole time, and we qualified third. And with Olsen having a penalty from the previous round, we started second on the grid. So I knew I had good pace, and it was just a matter of making the tyres last the whole race. If Donington getting a new surface, you know, we're beating the lap records, and it was just a matter of making the tyre last to the end. That's what we did. We're pushing to the, it was left just two of us fighting for the lead.
Yeah, it's a bit of a dogfight going into those final corners, but you were able to sneak ahead with two to go.
The last lap was between me and Lynn Foot, so it was, and we passed each other maybe four or five times in the last lap of second last corner. You know, just maximum effort on the brakes, braked as late as I could, and he tried to go up the inside and couldn't get a stop, so he left the door open for me and was just able to go up the inside of him in the Melbourne loop. And after that, then just made sure to defend it going into the final corner to, you know, make sure he wasn't slipping up the inside again, and took the win. Yeah.
You're riding confidently on the AMD Motorsport Honda. Is it clicking a wee bit better this year for you than what you were going through last season?
Definitely. Going into the races this year with, you know, my third season on that the Honda, and with second year of my new crew chief from last year, we, you know, we're learning a lot and changing setups for the track. So now we're kind of going to every race, hitting the ground running, and definitely a lot more confident, feeling better in the bike. And just it's a matter of that first practice, just doing the quick lap times, and that's exactly what we've done in Donington, and it's proved that, you know, being that sharp in the first practice and carrying it through the whole weekend is what you need to do to be able to fight for the win.
Knock Hill is another circuit you like. You won there last year as well. Can you follow up this Donington success with a victory in the next round as you return to Knock Hill?
No reason why not. I'm confident I can do it. That's what the boys are saying. You know, that was where I got my first win, the Superstock 1000 class. So there's obviously there's a wee bit of pressure behind it, because I'd be disappointed if I don't do it again, and a lot of people will be expecting me to do it again. But no, I'm definitely confident I can do it. I enjoy Knock Hill. It's a very short and physical lap. You know, that's corners, because the lap's so short, you can have up to maybe 25 lap races, and all corners are right-handers, and there's only a couple of left. So the right-hand side of the body gets the beating, but, you know, training hard this year and feeling a lot fitter and stronger, so I don't think it'll be an issue.
Yeah. Have you upped your strength and conditioning and upped your training from where you were last year and the year before? There's a different approach there, is there, off the bike?
Definitely. I mean, last year, as every winter, I trained hard, and last year, again, trained hard all winter, and problem maybe throughout the race season, I was still training, but I had, you know, being away and racing in England so much, and coming back to work, I wasn't really, there wasn't as many nights of the week I was training. So this year, you know, I've trained, I just told my dad, he's the boss man, and I just says, look here, I'm going to train in the mornings, and I know that doesn't sit business, and it's not ideal, but I have to do it, because it's a big year. So now I just train every morning before work, and then gives me evenings off to get ready for in between rounds, and obviously recover, because, you know, training every day of the week is, or say, or maybe I'm lying, 6 days of the week anyway, for sure. It's you have to, recovery is important, so definitely fitness is a lot better this year, and, you know, mentally it's definitely prepared me better.
What kind of training is it you're doing? Just obviously different sports use different types of training to suit what sport they're in. What does it for a motorbike rider?
It's a bit of everything. Like, I'm down training in Adam Spears' gym, so I'll be down there 2-3 nights a week, and just doing everything, you know, when it comes to flexibility stuff, to obviously strength training and cardio, everything, you know, because it's not just do a lot of running and cycling on the turbo, and also do swimming, you know, so it's, because it's a bike, it's hard, I'm not going to be able to describe here, but it just, you need to cover every part of the body, and you're using every muscle, as you know, from your toe to right to your brain, like, it's all, everything is all, like, marginal wee differences just to make it easier for me and make it the performance better.
Yeah. You're a bit marginal wee differences, and you talked about the brain, and you see Formula One drivers do these like lights that the before races, it's all about the reaction time and the, and their speed. Does motorbike riders do something like that, or how is it you work on your reaction? Because you need to be thinking very, very quickly, so you do, given the speeds that's involved.
Oh, definitely. It's the exact same thing. You know, I mean, you know, from when the light goes out, you know, that split quarter of a second, or if even, is the difference in you getting a whole shot or being fifth into turn one. So you need to be sharp from the get-go and be, you know, it's easy being sharp whenever the first few laps or even the first half of the race, you know, you're feeling, you know, you're like brand new, you know, you haven't actually done anything, you know, the heart hasn't got panting and you're not maybe tired. So it's more for the end of the race, you know, whenever you're fit and you're not getting weak on the bike, then the sharpness stays there. But I know from previous years, when just my strength wasn't as good, you come the end of the race, you're getting maybe a wee bit tired, not tired, but a bit more sweaty, like, and maybe aches and pains coming, and then that's when the concentration goes. And then when the concentration goes, you're missing braking markers. Like, you know, you're chatting when you're doing 160 mile an hour down straight, the difference in 2 feet at 160 mile an hour braking that wee bit later is you missing your apex and, you know, running wide and letting someone else come up the inside. So that point when being fit enough just to keep focus and not allow mistakes. And you know, obviously you have to plan ahead when you're in a race. You know, it's like at Donington, when it was me and Dan in the last few laps. That was a maybe 4 or 5 group battle halfway through the race, but his tire life went off, and maybe us saving their tire, and maybe riders' physical, you know, fitness dropping off. It was just left to the two of us at the end. And at that point, you know, it's whoever's better and fitter and who can think further ahead and make a move stick. So that's when it's important to be. It's them last few corners, even, is the difference in, you know, someone putting a massive year of training in and someone not, or even maybe both people are doing the same amount of training. It's just, it's like I said, it's marginal differences.
Yeah. Well, you're seeing the rewards of your training that you're putting in with that victory. As we mentioned, you got Knockhill to go to next. How many rounds are left in the championship?
That's round 3 there, so we still have 8 rounds to go.
Yeah. 8 points is the difference at the top of the championship. Linford's in front. Are you confident at this stage that you have the ability, you have the bike, and you have the all-round package that you can win this championship this year, Richard?
Definitely. I mean, we're currently 9th, 2nd in the championship. It's the furthest I've been up in the championship, any championship over in the UK. So no, I'm confident we can. You know, it's a long way to go yet. There's still, you know, maybe 18. 16 or something races to go, and we've only done 4, so I'm definitely going to be pushing right to the end. And second in the championship, 8 points in it is very little, but with the new championship points, it's very hard to gain points now. You know, when last year the leader, you know, if you won a race, you gain 5 points over second place, but now this year they've made the points all closer, so it's now the difference from first to second is third place, so, and right down to 15th. So a DNF's very costly now. When last year, you know, if you won some and crashed out in some, you could still be in for a shout, but now it's very important to be consistent and also important to win.
It's good to catch up with Richard Kerr this week, who joined us in studio following his latest success on the bikes in England. Now, Athletics Ireland will bring its Track and Field Live Series to Finn Valley AC this Saturday. The highly successful fast-paced athletics meet blends juvenile, recreational and high-performance focused events. It will get underway at 12 noon on Saturday and it's expected to be a sellout. More information available on the Finn Valley Athletic Club social media channels. There's similar events also taking place in Cork, Ballinasloe and Leixlip. There will be juvenile and adult competition with electronic timing in place for that event this weekend. Just finally, some of the big games coming up this weekend, cricket-wise, in the North West. It involves 2 North West sides in the Irish Senior Cup. The refixed first-round games. Dunamana are taking on Carrickfergus, with the winner there to play the Hills in round 2. And Ardmore are hosting Cork County, with the winner on Sunday going through to play Pembroke. Both of those games are on Sunday. And Glendermot are also in action in a refixed National Cup game. They're away to Athlone, with the winner there set to go through against Cliftonville Academy in round 2. Those matches all on Sunday, while on Saturday there's a full programme of games taking place in the Premier League with new buildings against Coleraine. The old rivals of Brigade and Dunamana will meet once again. Glendermot face Kelly Clooney. Burndennet up against that Donegal side St Johnston. Brady play Armour, Ballyspallan take on Strabane, and Eglinton are facing off against Fox Lodge. And that is it from the Score programme for tonight. Don't forget, if you missed any of the show, you will of course be able to recap in the sports section of our website, highlandradio.com. I'll be back with the next bulletin tomorrow morning after the 8:30 news. So until then, what's left of your Thursday, have a good one. Enjoy.